The first reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 15 to 17. In those days, Peter stood up among the believers, a group numbering about 120, and said, "Brothers, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke long ago through the mouth of David concerning Judas, who served as guide for those who arrested Jesus. He was one of our number and shared in this ministry." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. The second reading is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 to 13. We accept man's testimony, but God's testimony is greater, because it is the testimony of God, which he has given about his Son. Anyone who believes in the Son of God has this testimony in his heart. Anyone who does not believe God has made him out to be a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony God has given about his Son. And this is the testimony God has given. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. The third reading is from it's from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verses 6 to 19. I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours. You gave them to me, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I am not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine, and glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the world.
Daryl,
Bruce,
great to have you.
Good to be here. Oh, battery's falling out. Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to be with you. Happy Mother's Day, if that applies. It actually applies to all of us because we all got a mother somewhere or had a mother somewhere. Also, just a little bit of a qualifier at the beginning. I have a bit of a cough. It's that time of year, but my cough, I got over the cold over a week ago, but this dry cough keeps coming back, right? So if I cough, it's not the anointing or a demon or anything else, it's just the cough. And when I come to do the Eucharist, I will be wearing a mask and I'll stand a little bit back, just so everyone's comfortable with that. And if for any reason, and this is important all the time when we receive communion, if for any reason you're uncomfortable with that because for whatever reason, you don't need a reason, it might be your health, whatever, and you think there could be some risk to your health, You can still come up and not receive it, and God doesn't mind, you still receive the benefits. So it's really important we all kind of live in that security of God. It's not like you say, well, you didn't receive it today, so you're in trouble for the next week, right? If you're in any way uncomfortable with it, feel totally relaxed to just maybe walk up, not receive it, and leave. Last night, of course, was the solar flare. I'm sure some of you have seen it or seen online. We looked out and I saw clouds that looked completely normal. I don't know if it was something with our house or everybody's house here, but everyone else seemed to have these wondrous photos all over the place. But quite remarkable, really, when you see it. You know, there's this, the sun kind of had this eruption of gas and so on that hit Earth and surrounded us and our, and it, just all these amazing kind of colours in the sky. Now, you realise if we went back 400 or 500 years and we were in a church, we would think God was doing something. Something, you know, good or bad. And in fact, if we go back probably 600 or 700 years, there would be battles between different groups over what God was doing that could end up with death and destruction. And the reason I say that, it's important to remember, as Christians, we have nothing to fear from science. A lot of Christians are kind of, every time some new science discovery is out there, it disrupts some of our theological thinking in some way, we think that it's wrong or it's evil or it's a deal. No, it's not. It's just another chance to grow our theology even bigger. God is everything plus more. I was reading, watching online, this is off subject, but bad luck. You got me this morning, I got a cough, so that's my excuse for everything. I was watching online, you know, how big the universe is, right? And in our Milky Way galaxy, I don't know the numbers, they're just huge. It's something like 10 billion solar systems like ours, you know? And our galaxy is one of something like, I don't know what the number is, 10 trillion galaxies we can see in the part of the observable universe, and we can observe about 10% of the observable universe or something. We're just huge numbers. And the question, therefore, is where's God? Well, he's more than all that. Just makes God bigger. Doesn't make God less or anything. It makes God more. Does that make sense? God is always more. He's the transcendent other that is beyond anything. He's not created. He's not a being in that sense. He's beyond. We have nothing to fear from science. So last night was not a message from God. It was because the sun decided to have a little hissy fit within itself and send off a big explosion. And I think when it comes to science, it's not always right, because most scientists will tell you that. They're learning, it's what it is. We have nothing to fear. And if it disrupts our belief, like we did many years ago when we think the Earth was at the centre and the sun went round us, and when some scientists said at the time that's not right, Christians said, well, that's not good, we should kill those people because they're annoying the word of God. We've got to move away from that stuff. Does that make sense? God is more. That's great news for me. Anyway, so with that said, let's move on. So we're talking, and I'm talking from John 17. And the reason John 17 was my grandfather, who's long since gone, was his favourite passage of Scripture. And interesting, the 1 John passage was my father's favourite passage of Scripture. The reason my grandfather was his favourite passage of Scripture, I was a little guy when he died, but I'm 10 years old or something. But I remember he would often read it out to me, you know, from the King James Version, of course. And it was great because it was this thing about Jesus was praying for us, Daryl, he'd say. So it's got some kind of fond memories for me. And actually, out of the passage, but in verse 1, and this is important of this chapter, says Jesus praying this, it says, and Jesus said, after Jesus said this, he looked towards heaven and prayed. And the only thing I want to say about prayer is we must never limit prayers to shutting our eyes and trying to focus on Jesus. Jesus prayed like this, which for someone like me is very good, because when we have those prayer meetings where you shut your eyes, I struggle to survive 30 seconds before I'm thinking of Kentucky Fried Chicken or, you know, what movie I'm going to watch on TV. I find it very hard. My mind goes all over the place. But that's all right. There's other ways I can pray. Does that make sense? So it's really important. Praying, there's all sorts of ways. It's a way we can communicate in some way with God. And if for you it's like Jesus with your eyes open to heaven, that's fine. If for you it's on your knees with your eyes shut, that's fine. If it's walking down the beach, that's fine. Just make sure you have a way that works. Then we go to the passage we're looking at here, and it says in verse 6, Jesus speaking, he said, I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. Now this concept of revealed God, revealed the Father, is fascinating. Because he actually only revealed part of the Father, isn't he? You know, the Father or God is more. Does that make sense? And so God is so big, so transcendent, so much beyond everything. You know, they talk about how there could be trillions of universes. Well, God's more than that. And so God in the Old Testament had all these kind of pictures and analogies and used things of the world to try and give pictures of himself. But ultimately, it ended up in the incarnation of Jesus Christ, isn't it? Who did not count equality with God, it says Philippians 2, something to grasp, but came to earth in the form of a man. So that we could begin to grasp, understand Jesus. And if we begin to understand and follow Jesus, we know we are understanding and following some of the transcendent God. It's amazing, isn't it? All that down to this. And in fact, when we understand this, I think when we read the Bible, we begin to start with Jesus, his life, his death, his resurrection, ascension, and look back through the Old Testament that way. And we look forward to the New Testament that way, because this really is the center. The incarnation, it's called. God came to earth as a man. And Jesus revealed himself in that way to his disciples and to us, primarily through his word. And then it says in verse 6, actually Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11:1, following this theme, that Jesus is in one sense, there was an old saying back in the early church that he is enough. Jesus really is enough. Some of the other arguments and debates we have are interesting, they're useful, but he is enough. And in Corinthians 11:1, Paul says, be imitators of me as I am of Christ. You want to know what God is like? Well, he's like Jesus. And what's Jesus like? Well, he's like me. Now, Paul wasn't saying me and Jesus, we're tight, bro. We're identical twins. Paul also said he has many failings. But the reality is when people look at us, what is God like? He's kind of like, should be a little bit like me. And that's what keeps me humble, because what I have to say is, well, I'm not doing a very good job of representing him sometimes. Is that making sense? It's really important. That is the incarnation worked out in us. In verse 6 it says, because one of the interesting things about Jesus' prayer here, on one level, great stuff, but it didn't work very well. But I'll explain that, because he says here, verse 6. They were yours, he's talking about the disciples, you gave them to me and they obeyed your word. Well, except they didn't. The disciples a lot of time got chastised for Jesus for not doing it always right. Isn't that true? So why would Jesus say they obeyed your word when in one sense they didn't obey your word? It's because he's talking about our humanity. He's not talking about the aspirational, wonderful reality of life that we all want to be like. They obeyed your word a little bit. And that's enough. Is that making sense? That's us, isn't it? Well, that's me. You guys might probably be a lot better than me. But for me, that's enough. That the reality is, when it comes to obeying the word of God, trying to be like a Christian, I'm not there yet, but the bit I have is enough. And Jesus acknowledges that in the disciples who were pretty fallen. And this was said just before he went to the cross. And what did they do when he was on the cross? Well, Peter denied him three times. John was there with his mother and all the rest of the runner. Verse 6. So overall we're okay because we live as forgiven people, not as perfect people. Verse 8. For I gave the words you gave me and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you. Well, I don't know if he wasn't listening very well, but the disciples clearly didn't know with certainty. There were many times they said, we don't know what's going on, and they mumbled amongst themselves and they said, what's going on? What's he talking about? He's not talking in essence that these were people who knew without a doubt this is the Son of God. 3 days, 4 days from now he's going to be risen. They had no idea what was happening. In fact, if you read the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it says that Jesus took them to the mountain just before he ascended, and it said they fell to the ground and worshipped him, but some doubted. Even at that point they weren't certain, which makes perfect sense to me. So what he's not meaning again, the certainty here, he's meaning that little bit of certainty, that was enough. That little bit of certainty I have sometimes, that's enough. Sometimes it grows to be a big certainty. Sometimes it shrinks back to almost nothing because of different things going on in my life or what's going on. But that's enough. Jesus acknowledges our humanity and loves us anyway. People who say they know for sure anything, okay, be a bit careful of those people. Anyway, the other interesting thing is the word faith in the New Testament in Greek is the word pistos. Young people love saying that, and they grow up in Christian homes in Sunday school, because it's kind of like swearing at mum and dad, you know, when you're telling this. But pistos in the Greek is different than the word elpis. Elpis is the word hope. And elpis is this concept of something that, you know, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. Does that make sense? That's hope. That's elpis. It's hard, but I can see it. The finish line, I can see it. Pistos is when there is no hope. It's being steadfast. It's going anyway. This is an important thing for Christians, because often sometimes our faith, our Christian journey, does not have a lot of hope. We're in the tunnel and the light's not at the end of it. I don't know if you've ever felt like this. You're in a race and there is no finish line in sight. This is just dark and despair, and it's horrible. That's when we become people of faith, of pistos. Nevertheless, I will continue. And when Jesus is praying for his disciples here, because he prays that God will protect them and look after them. And you know what happened to all the disciples? All of them probably were martyred in horrible ways. So did God not protect them, and therefore Jesus' prayer wasn't answered? Or was Jesus' prayer answered, but in a way we do not think of? Obviously, I think it's clear that Jesus' prayer was answered, because all the disciples, bar Judas, managed to practice pistos, the steadfastness and faithfulness, in spite of some horrific things they went through. That was God's answer to prayer. We need to be people of pistos, and when we have elpis as well, hope, it's wonderful. Fantastic. But when we don't, God's protection can be with us, and we will get there. And as I say in verse 15, my prayer for Jesus is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. And the evil one, of course, is not just the attacks of, in essence, of Satan. It's that evil one that would stop them being people of pistos. That thing that will stop them following Christ, because that is where true fulfillment is found. It says in Philippians that the love of God passes all understanding, the peace of God passes all understanding, and the joy of the Lord is my strength. And Paul said all those things from where? Prison. So he wasn't thinking beauty. Or, you know, he wanted to get out of prison. These were Roman horrible prisons 2,000 years ago. And he said the love of God passes all understanding, the peace of God in prison passes all understanding. That's because in the joy of the Lord, we're not talking the kind of emotional states we get in. They're good things. When I feel happy, it's good. But it's not what God is talking about here. That if we begin to understand this protection of God, the protection of the Holy Spirit that can be with us in the darkest days, when we're not feeling peaceful, we can actually experience peace that we can't explain or understand. We can experience love that we can't, even when we feel loveless, rejected, alone, we can begin to experience love that we can't understand or discuss. And we can begin to experience joy that it's not happiness that we can't understand and can't discuss, and yet somehow it is there. Isn't that wonderful? So we've all got it, and we can't explain it, can't understand it. We're like the dumbest people on earth. But that's what it is to be people of pistos who follow Christ and who follow his prayer. And then, so what for us in this prayer from Jesus, for his disciples specifically, and then for all of us? Well, number one, it's very personal. And we have to remember that, I think it was Joseph Stalin, when he was butchering the millions, he said, one death is a tragedy, a million merely a statistic. You've probably heard that. Eh? After a while, the numbers of deaths around the world, we just kind of, they disappear. They just become numbers. But for everyone involved, it's a very real thing. Well, Jesus knows us. We are not numbers. We're not a statistic. Every one of us, Jesus knows intimately. And he was praying in one sense, not just at that point in his humanity, but in his deity. He was praying for Daryl Gardner specifically. And he continues, it says, to intercede for Daryl Gardner specifically. And what does that intercession look like? I want it to look like new cars, happy life, great sleeps, you know, finding money in my pocket. Oh, for $20, thank you, Lord. You know, that's what I want it to look like. And sometimes that happens. But what it actually looks like is, hopefully, if I practice pistos, I'll begin to experience the love of God that passes all understanding. I'll begin to experience the peace of God that passes all understanding. I'll begin to be like, as Paul said, a little bit like Christ to those around us, who is like God, who's bigger than we can possibly imagine. Nō reira, ka mute nei kōrero ki a koutou. Got through without coughing. May God bless you all this morning.
Thank you, Daryl.